Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, Snapback fam? Welcome back to another episode of the Snapback Sports Pod. On this episode, the Snapback Awards, our second annual award show where we give out awards similar to those at the ESPYs, except ours are way cooler. Examples of the awards: the college player we wish we could have played with in a video game, game of the year, champion of the year, retired athlete of the year, and the best rivalry of the year. And then we'll get into a little Monday mailbag, Jamal Adams, MLB Dopers, and a little NBA talk. Snapback fam, let's get it.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant took the jumper.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman from Snapback Sports. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Right this second, it's how bad I smell. Because I got a workout right before this. I'm just going to throw in that weird flex. And you're just like, yo, let's hop on at 12:45. And I'm like, guess I'm not showering. So I'm going to be sitting here for the next hour recording, trying not to throw up at my own body odor.
Fair enough.
What's on your mind?
On my mind is the nice trifecta I hit yesterday in the Belmont Stakes. I know you have a bone to pick with me.
It's go ahead.
All right. I was promoting Dr. Post. Look, this is the thing. I was given a horse to promote, and I knew the winner of the race was going to be the best horse. They said is potentially the third best or the best 3-year-old horse of all time.
American Pharaoh would smoke this horse.
All right. Tis to win, in it to win it, whatever the heck his name was. And he cleared the field. Did you happen to watch the race?
Not a second.
He dominated. Like, the thing is, he's the craziest closer of all time. So they said, if he's top three over the second half of the race, it's essentially over. He was top three throughout. So he crushed.
You're literally
it.
Betting on playoff Mariano Rivera.
Exactly. So then I'm pushing Dr. Post all week, and he was a third favorite, but he finished second. And then we thought that the third place horse was in last the whole race, so I thought I was toast. And then the odds or the standings come in, the final comes in, and I saw my guy 15-1 finish number three, and I was like, okay, that's a nice $200.
I mean, you're just
payday.
That kid. You're just that kid that promotes one pick, like tells all your friends to bet this. You're all riding together. It doesn't hit. You're all just like that. He's like, well, I also took this.
That's not true, though.
Come on. Like, you couldn't have tweeted out once, like, this
you
trifecta.
You texted me. You said, are we taking Dr. Post? I said, no. That's just
you
I'm
didn't
promoting.
Just say no. You emphasized no.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to win. So then I actually got a call from Max, my cousin, who was with a few of his friends, and they were like, what are we betting on? And I gave them the winning trifecta, and none of them bet it.
So couldn't have thrown it the fam's way?
I should have thrown it the fam's way. All right, fam, into the Snapback Awards. The Snapback Awards is an annual thing. This is our second year doing it, where we create fun categories, and then we break down the past year in sports. So, number one, NCAA football. The last version of it was made in 2014. Hopefully making a comeback eventually, but the first category, the Snapback Awards, the college football.
Before we go on, why hasn't it made a comeback?
Because they weren't allowed to do it with people's likenesses.
That's but they were allowed thing. To do it in 2014. What changed?
I don't know what the change was. I think they started to complain and be like, hey, they're literally using our likeness. Like, people forget the past 5 years for the NCAA has made a massive shift. Massive shift. Giving more rights to the players year by year. It's still not even close to there, but we're still moving that direction. So, anyways, NCAA football player you wish you could have played with in the past year. The candidates are Joe Burrow, Heisman winner, Chase Young, Jonathan Taylor, and Tua.
Want me to bat lead off?
Abe, take it away.
So you think about the game. The last time it came out was 2014. Mm-hmm. And at that point, video games weren't, they were easy, right? Like, I stopped playing Madden nowadays because it just got hard. You can't just hit A over the middle of four verticals every time. you can't just spam that. So that was really an offensive-focused game where it was so easy. So I'm not going to pick a defensive player in Chase Young because dominating the line of scrimmage, like, who cares?
Yeah.
I'm trying to score touchdowns here. That being said, I'm going Jonathan Taylor.
Really?
I used to run the ball a lot in that game. Just spam the running back. I would pick Burrow or Tua, but like in those, like I would take Justin Fields over Burrow and Tua in that game just because he has the ground game. I loved running in that game. Jonathan Taylor was an absolute animal. He like actually reminds me of Saquon with his size and speed. Obviously very different running backs, but I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor on that one.
Interesting. So I like the call out on Fields. I think that was potentially left off the list. Another one left off the list is your boy, Jalen Hurts. You got the dual threat in college. That's always a fun quarterback.
Well, I don't want to play with him because I don't want to get him hurt.
That's true. Save him for the pros.
Right.
I'm going to go with Joe Burrow.
Why?
LSU's offense looked like a video game this year.
Facts.
And I think I would just like to play with the video game version of Joe Burrow. The fun part is now that all these guys are in the pros and we'll actually get to play with them in Madden, but playing with them in college, with their college teams, that LSU team, trying to score 100 points every game in your franchise or dynasty mode, whatever it is a lot of fun. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow.
I wonder what Joe Burrow, like, because going into the year, Joe Burrow was considered like a third-round pick. LSU like was kind of came out of nowhere this year. Mm-hmm. There's no way his overall was that good in the beginning of the year.
That's true.
I mean, we're talking
about
a video game that doesn't exist. But like,
still a
it's like Lamar. It's like Lamar Jackson last year in Madden. What did he start as, like a 78 or something? Like with these guys that nobody expects them to, whereas Tua had the years before, he was probably would be way better in the game.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence probably would have had a high rating going into the year.
Why isn't T-Law in that? That's your guy.
That is my guy. But he's a fun video game quarterback, but nothing.
Probably
I wouldn't
throws
say
absolute dots.
Dots. Dots. All right, on to the next category. The rivalry, the best rivalry of last year. And all of these candidates were given to us by our producer, Andrew Eagleson. He's from Canada.
Make sure you preface this category with that.
So you will see maybe some of his inflection here. Best rivalry of last year, Eagles and America's team. He wrote that. I didn't say that.
Does anyone actually consider the Cowboy America's team?
I don't think there is an NFL America's team right now. And to say, like, anyone's America's team, it's not the Cowboys.
I almost just said the Ravens.
I mean, people love
the
Ravens.
No, it probably would be the Chiefs.
But
America, Kansas City, Missouri?
Yeah, they're more like, we're from Missouri. That's our team. They're less of America's team.
What does America's team even mean? That's so stupid.
Eagles and the Cowboys. Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames. This was prefaced with apparently there were some goalie fights and it was an electric rivalry. Lakers Clippers and Duke UNC. So the reason Duke UNC is in there is because that absolutely insane game. Duke actually swept the regular season series. Lakers Clippers, I think, is a really fun category that just popped onto the map really this year. Calgary Flames, I mean, and
crickets.
The Oilers, I don't
crickets.
Know. And Eagles Cowboys, which split 1-1 but was for the division we were there. So, Abe, what do you think?
Eagles Cowboys can't be it solely because they both were awful last year.
Like, okay.
We were
that.
9-7. I'm not going to even talk about the hockey one. This is one of those categories where I'm going to choose a different one, and I'm going to choose my favorite current rivalry going on and the most entertaining one, and that is the MLB Players Association and the owners and the commissioner, because every day there's some news coming out, like, with the whole when and where thing, like, okay, the owners kind of told you when and where, and you're still countering?
Yeah.
Like, there's supposed to be a vote tonight. This has just been entertaining. I've been getting trolled when there's good news about baseball, about my take that I had, and then when there's bad news about baseball, people go silent out of nowhere. It's really convenient, right? So that's a rivalry that keeps on giving right now. God knows how it's going to end. I mean, I told you a few weeks ago, but the union versus the owners, I mean, that's really a rivalry in every sport because it's just a battle for the dollars. But right now, it's just a movie between them. It's kind of like the Parent Trap.
Good reference. All right, if I had to make you pick a category, because we might throw this on some social graphics, who would you go with?
Oh, we're talking about this category?
Yeah.
I don't know why you can't throw the MLB Players Union. Whatever. If I was going to pick one this year, it's hard not to go Lakers-Clippers, even though it didn't end. But, like, that's what we've all been looking forward to all year. They've had great battles. I remember that Sunday afternoon game right before COVID got down. The Lakers won. It's just the rivalry that we've all been looking forward to towards the end of this year. And it won't happen, probably, because I don't think the NBA is coming back. But Eagles-Cowboys, they weren't good enough last year. Hockey's hockey. UNC was awful last year out of
terrible.
Nowhere. Like, they were
terrible.
Awful, even though that they always play up to their competition. I would say that rivalry because of that one game, but the jerseys were so bad in that game that they don't deserve my respect.
Good,
like the practice jerseys. So yeah. I'm going to go, if I had to choose other than the owners and the players union and the MLB, Lakers-Clippers.
All right, I'm going Lakers-Clippers as well. I think the fun of it is it's kind of a newer rivalry that was born out of all the offseason moves, mm-hmm. which was really exciting. The opening game they played each other, or was it like, it was early in the season. Maybe it wasn't opening night.
I think it might have been opening game.
It was opening game, and I think the Clippers won that one. They looked impressive.
Did they play Christmas too?
They did play Christmas.
They had
Christmas.
They had to have.
Did they? Yes, yes. The Lakers choked, actually. Clippers.
Eagleson,
no,
look up the score.
No,
of the
I know
game
for.
Christmas.
I remember. I remember now. The Lakers were up late and they actually choked. I think Beverly stripped LeBron at the end of the game off his leg.
Pat Beverly.
And then the Lakers got him right before the break. So that is also an exciting rivalry because that game is still. I mean, there's still games to be played, we think, in the Western Conference Finals. In terms
of
the.
You think.
The rivalry is also super interesting because the Clippers won 2 of 3. The Lakers won the most recent one. But when they play at Staples, it's a Lakers sellout no matter who's the home team. But now that there's no fans, you don't have the fan aspect of it. But Lakers Twitter and Lakers social media owns, they own the Clippers. Like, who was a Clippers fan?
They own the city.
They own the city. So I think that's what makes that rivalry super unique because the Lakers win, it's just going to be like, LOL, the Clippers literally can't win anything. They have no banners. They have nothing. If the Clippers win, they kind of get the last laugh, even with everyone.
Let me let you in on a little fun. If the COVID never happened and the Lakers-Clippers met in the Western Conference Finals and the Clippers won in X amount of games,
yeah.
It wouldn't mean anything. It's still a Lakers city. It will always be a Lakers city.
Well, it would still be a Lakers city, but they would absolutely get the last laugh and they would be playing in the NBA Finals.
I mean, but
trust me, if you're a Clippers fan, all you've heard about is LeBron.
Are there
AD.
Such things?
There's a few. I went to a Clippers game. There's a few, but it's not like the Lakers.
I'm very curious to see what a Clippers crowd will look like because they're moving. They're moving to Inglewood in that stadium, which is good because you and I were talking about that. The biggest benefit for this whole NBA bubble COVID thing is the Clippers because chances are they would have met up with the Lakers. And even though they would have had the home hardwood, they're playing 7 road games.
Right.
The crowd is against their back every time, and in the NBA playoffs, that matters a lot.
Without a doubt. All right, on to the next category, which is Champion of the Year. The champions of the past year that we're focusing on, the Kansas City Chiefs defeat the Niners. The Blues come from the absolute dungeon to win the Stanley Cup, as do the Nationals. And then we don't have an NBA champion, so we're gonna let the Raptors hold that.
But we
spot.
We don't have an NHL champion either. Like when we had this conversation last year, we talked about the Blues.
That's correct. That is correct. Good point. Good call out. But we didn't have baseball. All right. So it's really only two new champions. But
well,
we can throw in
LSU.
Yeah, LSU. Good call out. Good
we
call out.
We can throw in the Washington Mystics. Ugh.
Took down.
The Speaking of which. Let's let the fam in. We're back.
I know.
We're coming back.
But we had a massive season-ending injury to Kelsey Plum.
What do you mean?
Yeah. She got hurt, and she's out for the year. Which
what do you mean massive? The season didn't start.
I know. She got hurt. Your boy on the Eagles got hurt before the season started also.
Don't get me started. For those of you who don't know, Jack and I are diehard Las Vegas Aces fans. If you can go back to, we got to find that episode and that one clip and then like tweet it out or Instagram it out for when the shot went in last year.
We needed video for that. We should have been doing video back then.
But I think that's coming back
WNBA
the 22nd, a month from tomorrow.
To come back, yes. All right, who's your champ of the year?
Damn, dude, that Kelsey Plum really just put a damper on it. She was nice in the playoffs.
She was nice.
My champion of the year is the Kansas City Chiefs. You think about the playoff run they had, being down double digits in three straight playoff games. You mix that with the combination of Andy Reid getting it off his back and getting his first ring. Patrick Mahomes, it's his second, third year in the NFL. Finally breaking through and getting that first ring. Just the sky's the limit for him. You don't know if he's going to get 7, 8, 9, 10, probably just one or two. It's crazy to think, like, these Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, like, all-time great quarterbacks. They have one Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, it's
Peyton
that
has
hard
two,
to win
but
another one.
One is fake.
To put it in perspective how crazy six is for Tom.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the Chiefs. They were one of the most electric teams to watch. Like, Patrick Mahomes is appointment television more so than Lamar Jackson, the baby choke. So the Chiefs are my champion of the year. But LSU is a good call.
Yeah, I'm going LSU. Special shout out to the Nationals. They were down and out like a million times. Like, even
in the wild card game, they're out.
They just were knocked out of playoff contention by every pundit back in whenever, and they made that comeback. That was an electric World Series wild card game?
I forget who the right fielder was that did it. The ball went through his legs, and that's how the Nats scored.
But I'm going with LSU. I've never seen a team after they came to Texas, which was really their closest game of the year, which is nuts to say.
You were riding that all year. Dude, we played LSU the closest.
We did. We absolutely did, which is hilarious. But the fact that after that point, they never looked back. I don't know if they were a live underdog at any point. They just smoked everyone. Even the game against Alabama, where it was close, it never felt like Alabama had a chance.
What about the semifinal game against Oklahoma?
Yeah, exactly.
That, like, what are you, seven touchdowns in the first half?
They could have scored 100 points, and the championship game was close in the first half, and I think they got down at one point, and it was just like, you can't stop them. We talked to Trayvon Diggs, and they were like, I was on that. I was in that as well.
I was so hyped. We were so hyped on Clemson going into that playoff.
Because I thought they were being disrespected, and and they were, because people said they weren't that good, and then they beat an Ohio State team. But I just think we might have disrespected LSU even more by underestimating how. I mean, that offense was unstoppable. It was literally unstoppable.
You think about the weapons they had, but the craziest part about that, has you ever seen a picture of that offensive line without their shirt on?
Oh, yeah, it's
terrifying. They are the biggest human beings I've ever seen in my... Like, they are double the size of NFL linemen. Like, I could have sat back there and threw a few touchdowns.
Coach O. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was like... He's a first-round pick, and he got no love throughout the year.
Let me ask you a question. Do we know how good LSU is going to be next year? Like, do they have a quarterback come in or something? Or was it kind of just a one and done with Burrow?
We travel to Death Valley week two, and I'll hopefully be
there.
I don't know.
You will not be there.
But we're
going to
beat
them. It's in the South. They'll be open.
We got to get our Miami Dolphins beat reporter, Dean Kerr, back on. He's also our Texas correspondent. He is jazzed.
Do you think he wants in on the Ellinger Heisman bet with me too?
Oh my god,
he'll probably take him to win it.
His life savings are low right now, but he would put all of them on that bet. I know that for a fact. All right, on to the best game of last year. So let's go back, let's relive some memories. Saints Vikings playoff game, Kirky Cousins. That was also a mailbag question. Someone said, is he a steak waiter, steakhouse waiter? The people want Cousins to get the upgrade after the playoff win.
We're in a pandemic. Jobs are tight. He's sticking at the bees.
So Viking Saints NLDS game 5. Eagleson, give me some help here. Which NLDS game 5?
Well, there's only one NLDS.
No,
and there's two series.
No.
What yeah, there's mean? Two. Eagleson, come on.
Exactly. All right, he'll chime in. He's going to write in the chat for us. And then what else do we have? Calgary Edmonton Battle of Alberta.
Oh, that game was crazy.
That game was nuts.
I don't know what that is.
Dodgers Nats game 5. Oh, that game was pretty nuts.
What happened?
Just like home runs back and forth. I think Kershaw came in, he got shelled. It was the grand slam.
Oh, Kershaw got shelled in the playoffs.
Right. It was the grand slam game. Who hit it? Howie Kendrick. And then Clemson-Ohio State semifinal. Abe, game of the year, give it to Kirk. Can we just go back to that podcast record that week when I said I want to take the Vikings, I want to bet on the Vikings, and everyone told me I'm an idiot, and I actually listened to other people for, I think, the first time.
You mean, like,
ever.
Everyone listened to you about betting Dr. Post?
Exactly.
And then you cashed on a trifecta and were retiring happy?
But, I just felt it in my plums that game. Abe, what's your game of the year?
Game of the year is none of these. It's the Duke-UNC game we were referring to earlier with the miss. Like, he missed the free throw on purpose, got it, caught it. Just shot it up. Duke ended up winning, but I got to watch those highlights again. But that game was absolute madness.
Was
if
nice.
I had to choose for the category,
yeah,
Clemson, Ohio State. You think about the stage that it was on. Clemson went down the field, took the lead late, and then Ohio State was coming down to win it again. And Justin Fields just handed the ball to Clemson in the back of the end zone. I remember I was watching that in a hotel room in Mexico, and I was obviously rooting for Clemson because, one, I bet on them. Two, Casey and Quinn mm-hmm. go to Ohio State. Three, Penn State, Ohio State. So it was just a euphoric feeling.
Yeah,
saw the pick. I was so tired, turned the TV off, and sweet dreams.
Do you know the story of what happened on that interception at our house?
No.
So we're all.
Oh, I think I do.
So we're all together, and for everyone listening, you probably know Casey from the YouTube stuff, but he goes to Ohio State. Our cousin Quinn was a senior at Ohio State. Like, they're trying to ride out their last semester, go see a national championship game.
Quinn had graduated. We're old.
Oh,
dude.
Quinn had graduated.
We're old, dude.
He wanted to go to the title game regardless. Casey's girlfriend, who also went to Ohio State, was with us over Christmas break. And Fields throws the pass into the end zone. It's caught. And she jumps up cheering, thinking they caught the touchdown and won the game. And the
spoiler
rest...
Spoiler alert. Casey and her are no longer together.
Unfortunately, that is accurate. I don't know what the correlation is. I would imagine.
I think you guys
high.
Are.
I would imagine it's high.
As the honorary math member on this podcast, I think you can add that up.
That was a great game, but I'm going to give it to the Vikings. I think the Vikings kind of controlled the first half, and they were still doubted. Everyone's picking the Saints to come back in the second half. I think people forget now that the Chiefs won and the Niners kind of handled the NFC to get to the Super Bowl. The Saints were, like, without a doubt, the favorite in everyone's book to make the Super Bowl. Like, It was Saints versus whoever made it out, Chiefs or Ravens. But there was a big debate who's going to make it out, Mahomes or Lamar. I don't think.
Okay. I mean, there was a Brady in there.
No, I didn't. I at least didn't think so. He was.
I mean, I at least didn't think the Ravens were going to.
That's fine. But 99% of people weren't dumb enough to say the Saints or the Ravens didn't have a chance. So on the NFC side.
Weren't dumb enough or were smart enough?
On the NFC side. It was pretty conclusive, though, that the Saints were going to make the Super Bowl, which is nuts to think because they didn't even have a bye. So I think Kirk Cousins...
Who made the Super Bowl? Oh, the Niners.
Yeah, it was Kirk Cousins on the road, digs with the drama. They go up in the first half, Dalvin's eating, and then the Saints start coming back. They go to Taysom Hill to bring him back. All momentum is with the Saints. They force overtime, and then Kirk Cousins comes down... with literally the greatest throw of his life, an absolute dime to Thielen, and then you top it all off with a clear offensive pass interference that they don't review and the Saints lose on, that is your
We could have talked about that rivalry, too, the city of New Orleans versus every person in a Reebok shirt, or a Foot Locker shirt is what they say. I didn't really watch a lot of that game because I was tailgating Eagles Seahawks that was right after that.
Mm.
Jadeveon Clowney really just got 2020 started and went just downhill from there.
Yeah. 2020, not our year, but maybe the second half will be better. Who knows?
We kind of already started the second half.
No.
We got to finish this month.
Yeah, we got to finish the 10
All
days.
All right, so we got 10 shitty days left, guys.
And then we'll turn it around.
And in those 10 days, you'll have two snapback episodes to listen to.
Probably three. Definitely three.
Thanks,
but,
math guy.
Yeah, you're not the math guy. You never have been. All right, final category is retired athlete from the past year. The four candidates are Conor McGregor, Luke Kuechly, Curtis Granderson. I had no clue he retired. And Eli, two-time Super Bowl champion Manning. Abe, your retired athlete.
Vontae Davis.
Why can't you ever stick to the candidates? Like, that's Vontae, the most.
Okay,
you
first
think
off, Eagleson gave us these, and half of them have hockey guys in them. So that's
no,
that's
no, no,
one.
No, no, that's not true. Two categories
two,
have won.
Vontae Davis literally retired in the middle of a game. That might have been two seasons ago.
Wait, timeout. That was two seasons ago, and his name is not Vontae Davis. Vontae. Who's
definitely Vontae Davis?
Who's Vontae Davis
on the Bills?
I don't. Oh, okay. It was Vontae. Yeah, that was two seasons ago.
Yeah, apologize. So, okay, if you want me to choose from the list,
yeah,
I'm going the Notorious because he's no way is he retired. You know.
So
it's just, UFC and boxing retirements crack me up. It's essentially you fight once, and then you don't fight, and you're essentially retired until someone goes, "Here's $40 million." Oh, okay. I'm not retired. You only fight when people ask you to. It's not like you have a schedule, stuff like that. So you can just keep saying you're retired. Conor McGregor has done this a million times. Chances are he's setting himself up for a huge another fight. Or he did a layup fight against Cowboy Cerrone that made everyone think he was back. But, I mean, the Notorious. He's the best entertainer in sports. He's appointment television. What more can you ask for? Not so, picking boring Eli Manning.
Last year's candidates, two of them that I remember, Gronk, who's back, and Marshawn Lynch, who played in the playoffs. So this is not the end for all these guys, potentially. I agree with McGregor. I think the last three actually are out. I am pissed off by this list, though. I mean, Eagleson just omitted the best retired athlete, Vince Carter. Vince Carter is...
Okay, I can't believe you just gave me shit for picking off the list.
I mean...
You just chose Vince Carter.
It's just... He didn't even offer that up, and that was the clear one. And people are going to be pissed if we don't mention Vince. So, Vinsanity is the winner. But off the list, I love Luke Kuechly. It's such a shame he retired early. But I'm going Eli, like, two-time Super Bowl champ. The only person to really... Well,
oh,
whatever.
Wait. He didn't even put Andrew Luck in this.
Andrew Luck doesn't deserve to be on this list.
What do you, and Conor McGregor does?
Conor McGregor is the greatest of his sport, potentially. Eli, two Super Bowl rings. Andrew Luck, I think he won one playoff game.
One playoff win, I think.
Yeah. I'm going Eli Manning.
That's not fun. He's just got a stupid face.
I know. That wraps up the Snapback Awards. We will post all this stuff on Snapback Pod on Instagram, and we want to hear your votes. And also, who did we omit from the list and really just yell at Eagleson?
Who did Eagleson omit?
Yeah, exactly. All right.
For every person he omit, he should have to film himself doing a suicide or 10 burpees.
I'm down with that. On to Monday mailbag. The big news of the week is that the Ravens will be getting Jamal Adams. Sorry, excuse me. The big news of the week and the question from Trevor Stahl is, Jamal Adams trade predictions. Trevor's question was actually in relation to the Cowboys. What would the Cowboys have to give up to acquire Jamal Adams and sign both him and Dak to long-term contracts? That's a complex question. My boss at work is a Jets fan, but also like a Jets reporter. More like he analyzes it as a podcast. He's a big presence in the Jets community, specifically on Twitter. So I asked him, obviously, Jamal Adams requests a trade, but what's it going to take to get him? And this is where I think the general mass population, when the trade happens, they're going to be like, oh my God, the Jets are so dumb. That's the worst trade ever. Because to get Jamal Adams, it's not going to require anything crazy. It's going to require a first round pick.
And some change.
And some change. Which really isn't anything crazy because there's no way that the first round pick, because they're not going to give up, it's not going to be a bad team. He wants to be traded to a contender. So it's a late first-round pick and, you know, maybe next year second or a third and then a younger player or a piece. So whoever that they get from that is not going to be as good as Jamal Adams. If Jamal Adams was in next year or this year's draft, he's a top-five pick. I don't think that's up for debate.
No.
What the situation is, though, you got to pay him. That's where it's going to make it look bad because people are like, oh, that's not a fair deal, until you realize you got to sink $15 million a year into this guy. Is it worth it? Maybe work it. I don't know, Abe. What do you think?
This whole situation is interesting because you look at the people that the draft class Jamal Adams came up with. It's Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. Tre'Davious White, Jamal Adams. Nobody's really gotten that big contract yet. So, like, why is Jamal Adams so pressed on getting this next contract when nobody else in his draft class has gotten paid? That makes me think the Jets are being the Jets. The Jets have said some disrespectful stuff. Maybe they've offered him something that it was totally he wasn't worth. But like the idea that he needs to get a deal done now, when I think he's under contract for at least the next two seasons, right? That makes sense. That makes me think the Jets are being the Jets. That being said, when his list came out of which teams he wanted to go to, I feel like a lot of fans were humbled. Because what was the list? It was Super Bowl contenders.
He just went to Las Vegas.
And teams from Texas.
He went to Las Vegas. He went, okay, they're the favorite. They're the second favorite. Third favorite. Okay, fifth favorite. Sixth.
Like, and then it was any team because he's from Texas that he threw in. Thankfully, the Eagles were on there, so that was
So that's how you're rationalizing Cowboys and Texans. That's interesting.
I mean, that's how I'm rationalizing the Texans.
I mean, the only counter is that they were in the divisional round, and they only lost D-Hop, in theory.
But they kept Bill O'Brien.
You're right. No, that's definitely a loss.
So if you're Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets, Bill O'Brien's your first call.
Without a doubt, I posted a graphic on my story. I think it was Bill. It was Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt for Jamal Adams and two bags of Frito-Lays.
Yeah, it's like Joe will call and say, you give us a first for Jamal. He goes, that sounds nice. How about two?
Right. He's like, I really want to get this done. He's like, no, we only wanted one.
I texted I texted you like Friday when this list came out or whatever, my feeling of where he's going to go.
Yeah.
I think he goes to Seattle.
I could not agree more.
Why? No idea.
I can give you an explanation.
I don't know what they necessarily have to offer. I know they have some cap because they're not bringing back Clowney. Just like rebuilding that Legion of Boom, it's just like one of those things that I feel in my stomach.
So you know how many Seahawks fans that follow Snapback because all I do is shit on them, and I hear it, constantly hear it. And I said, where's Jamal Adams going? I like to pull the fans. And Seahawks fans were out of control. They're like, Seahawks, 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 because we want to rebuild the Legion of Boom. They're obsessed with having that great secondary.
Wouldn't you? They went to two Super Bowls.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And it totally makes sense. I agree. I think Clowney's gone. I think Clowney's out the door. And I think that's the right move. I would rather have Jamal Adams than Jadeveon Clowney, which is also funny that like no one – like, why does no one want Jadeveon Clowney?
Because he's a murderer who puts heads in the ground.
So I do think the Seahawks are the best fit.
What about from our team's perspectives? Like, I know for you, I texted you. I was like, would you even want him? Like, obviously you want an all-pro player. Like, if you can add a good football player, you want to add a good football player, whether it's not a need. What do you think about that?
All right, so everyone asked me this. Do the Ravens want, and do the Ravens have a chance to get Jamal Adams? Do the Ravens have a chance? I'll start there. I think we actually do because we have Matt Judon. So we franchise tagged him. He's the next big pass rusher who's going to get the contract. I think we're willing to move him. So we could theoretically trade him to the Jets. The problem is it's not a perfect fit. Like, we could move Judon to the Seahawks and then get Clowney because they want to replace the pass rush. So we could do that. It just doesn't make sense for us. Chuck Clark was really good. He's like, he wasn't the captain of the defense, but he was a really good communicator and leader. He's the strong safety. I think with Earl Thomas back there, it makes sense as a fit with having Jamal play in the box and Earl play deeper on the field. And I said, we would have the best secondary. I'm not going to say of all time because people would freak out.
No,
I'm not. I'm not. And we'll never know. We'll never know. Oh, I'm definitely thinking it.
And you definitely texted me it.
I mean, it would be the best in the league. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Earl Thomas, Pro Bowl. Jamal Adams, first team All-Pro. Marlon Humphrey, Pro Bowl. Marcus Peters, Pro Bowl. Most people don't even know about Tavon Young, who was the best slot corner in the league. He's been dealing with injuries, and you obviously have to put up with that. And then you get Jimmy Smith to just play in that role. You get Deshaun Elliott back from injury. And you would still have Chuck Clark. It would actually be disturbing. It would be disturbing. And the reason it would be a good fit is because what the Ravens lack is pass rush. But what we like to do more than anything is actually blitz. So if you could just go one-on-one with two deep safeties and then blitz linebackers, you would have a really good chance. You might not need as much pass rush. Do I think we do it? No, because we have to pay Lamar Jackson eventually, and we have to pay Ronnie Stanley, who's one of the best tackles, if not the best in the league, and Orlando Brown. I wouldn't do it. The secondary is too deep right now. It doesn't make sense. But it's fun to think about.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are always that team that's thrown around when a big name's out there.
I don't know why. Why is that always the case?
I think it's just the Eagles fans. I think it's the fans. Yeah.
You guys are like, you guys are like,
but no, it's also players like would welcome coming to Philadelphia. Of course. We're a fun city to play for.
Good culture, yeah.
But in terms of fit, I mean, you've put Jamal Adams into a spot where we lost Malcolm Jenkins. He's that Swiss Army knife who can play in coverage, who can play in the box, sort of as that linebacker fit. Joe Douglas, the GM of the Jets. Before he took the GM of the Jets job, he was Howie Roseman's right-hand man, the VP of player personnel. He's there. I essentially already traded for Jamal Adams. I would give up Zach Ertz. I think.
Ertz in a first or just Ertz?
Not Ertz in a first.
I mean, Ertz in a first gets it done. Once again, it's all about just having to pay the guy. What's your cap situation? Because I know Wentz is on that big deal.
Yeah, no. I mean, our cap situation is good right now. We have cap. Next year? Yeah.
Right. And that's what you have to look at because you're signing him for the future.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows what the cap is now with Brandon Brooks. We just paid him this offseason. Right. He just tore his second Achilles.
And they said it complicates it 10 times more because of no one knows what the cap's going to be.
No one knows what the cap's even going to look like. Yeah, right. I mean,
so it's now becoming a riskier investment to sign Jamal Adams because you know you're going to have to pay him. Other teams on the list, like Abe said, Texans, I actually think that makes sense for them. They need defensive help, and they didn't want to sign D-Hop. They could sign him. Cowboys, I also think that makes sense. I think if Jamal Adams said, I want to be a Cowboy, like right now he listed a bunch of teams. If he said, I want to be a Cowboy, I actually don't know if Jerry Jones doesn't say, okay, we want you, and goodbye, Dak. Like, I genuinely believe he would do something like that.
This brought me back to the thought of, this is why you trade Zeke.
Right. Oh,
but they have Le'Veon.
Right. Chiefs would be amazing for the Chiefs. I don't think they can do it with what they're about to pay Mahomes.
I don't think they need to do it. I think they're bringing back that many starters. Like, you built off it. It's hard to replicate that, and it's hard to say it's not a good idea when you're adding an all-pro safety, but like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, in my opinion.
In my opinion, this would be actually the optimal time to trade for Jamal because I think we talk about the window all the time, right? This, theoretically, would be – their window is still open this year because they haven't paid Mahomes. After that, it's just free fall on the cap.
I think Patrick Mahomes, when he signs his extension, it's going to be like LeBron's deal with Nike. We'll never get the true numbers out of it. It's just going to be that
much
money.
You can't do that with the NFL contract.
I think Patrick Mahomes can do what he wants with Roger Goodell.
That's fine. Eagles, we just talked about. Niners, I mean, they would love to package that on defense. They've had cap issues. I know they traded Buckner to kind of loosen that up, but they do have Jimmy G tied up. And then Eagleson just chimed in and said the Bucs are an option. The dude clearly wants to play in a Super Bowl, which I honestly have a mental.
I don't blame him either.
Yeah, I want to play.
I mean, the guy's been. You spend enough years in New Jersey playing football, you get a little sick of it.
Could not agree more. All right, on to Brody Smith's question. You think the NBA will happen now that the Corona cases have spiked?
Wait a second. Isn't Brody Smith? Is he the dude? Perfect guy.
Yeah, he's something like that. It's not him though, but
it might be.
It could be.
Do you think the NBA will happen now that the Corona cases have spiked? No way in hell. This is as if what's going on in Florida right now. Let's rewind a month and a half ago, and it's as if we're sitting here and talking about the NBA's getting ready to play at Madison Square Garden for a month. Like, Florida is the new New York. It's the epicenter of the coronavirus. It is fully open. I'm seeing Snapchats of a girl I know from Miami at crowded-ass bars. Like,
I don't even want to tell you what Dean did last night. I'll actually tell you off the air, but I could not agree more. They are out of control, but Adam Silver believes. And this is the confidence that I do believe it's still going to happen. While Florida is crazy, and while maybe they target it because there are lesser cases, they really target it because of the worldwide sports and Disney World or wherever they're playing. The problem is that they can't keep employees and our boy, who actually works there, out, right? Or they can't keep them in the bubble. But
it does make sense.
They are, think about like everything that's going on right now. The protocol will keep them the safest it can in terms of the entire country. Like Trae Young is out by the pool and maybe he'll go out to dinner, right?
Trae Young's not going.
No, I know, but I'm saying because I follow him on Snap and like he's out and about and like a bunch of these, like the Jazz were all playing with a bunch of guys who hadn't been tested and they're doing practice runs.
Everyone's
stuff.
Hooping right now.
That's what I'm saying. Now, at least, the players will have been tested. They'll be in this bubble. And it'll be as limited, it'll be as constructed as it can. So I still do think Adam Silver makes a good point that it will be the safest place. The question is it safe enough?
Yeah.
And realistically, no. What's the upside? What's the downside? How do you take all that into account?
The upside is just strictly money for the league.
But also for the players. Also for the players. You can't take that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It affects future contract situations, exactly. CBA, if they don't have a league. The owners could essentially throw out this CBA and have to go right back to the table. And then we're looking at MLB Part 2 potentially with a strike and made-up money. But how much are you buying in? I saw Lou Williams on like an interview the other day. Said because they have until the 24th, so that's Wednesday, to announce if they're going to go or not. They have until the 24th to decide. Lou Will, a very big part of a championship contender team, is saying he is 50-50. All right, I'm not going to talk about it from a social justice aspect.
But that's where he was, right? His is on the social justice.
Was it?
Not health. Yeah, I believe his is on the social justice.
Because some people are health reasons. Like
Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles is a fraud. Like, do you think players will actually sit out for health reasons? Like, with families and stuff like that? They're away from their families for 3 months.
Well, they're used to, you know, I don't think, like, I think you can not distance, but be away from your family for 3 months. I don't think that's really going to turn anyone.
The safety issue, though.
There's no doubt that the higher-seeded teams have more of an incentive. I think there is an argument. Like, if you're, I mean, Kelly Oubre, he got injured and he took surgery. Like, he's not going to be there. But
if I'm Aaron Gordon, like, I'm not going to that shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe you're already there.
Right. You are gone. Maybe if you're like Troy Brown Jr. on the Wizards and you're like maybe we make a run to get to the play-in and then we beat
maybe
the Magic.
Maybe we just
hit
Cabo and chill there for
exactly.
a couple weeks.
So I agree. I think there's less incentive for those guys to potentially
Why didn't they discuss going, maybe they did discuss it, but why didn't they choose to go like maybe to the Bahamas, somewhere international? Not too international.
Travel, I would guess.
They're taking private planes anyway.
I don't know if...
I feel like the Bahamas would have been the most ideal.
But they're all over the country. And there's also probably a lot of regulations with having to... Everyone needs to have a passport.
Right, and then we're talking about the Kings on the high up because Buddy Hield.
Why?
He's Bohemian.
Oh, he is. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I don't have the Kings really making that playoff push. It is interesting, though. I think it's still going to happen. We'll see what happens on the 24th. I don't think a lot of people are going to say they're not. I don't think anyone's going to be like the guy who's like, I'm not going.
Who's going to be the one to start it?
I don't know if it starts, honestly. But if we had to pick, like I feel like Ingles actually would be that guy. The Jazz are already messed up with Gobert and Spida, and he's already made
I don't
claims.
Really believe in that. Like, I understand, like, Rudy Gobert was being reckless about it, but if you look back at the times, like, okay, they're going to get mad at him for spreading this. Dude, there's millions of people that have gotten this. It's a global pandemic.
But they released the reports that Spida and him have an irreparable relationship, and he didn't refute that.
Report?
Like, that's a very easy thing to be like, nah, Rudy's my guy.
Rudy actually said we're working through it.
Right.
As if they're a married couple.
Right. They are. Point guard and big man. Pick and rolls.
Big man that can't really do anything other than play defense.
Dunk and play defense.
He's just not that good.
He's
just not.
Him probably like 10 years ago is an elite center. Him now
for sure.
In this game, I wouldn't want him on my team.
I love that conversation. Like, which players were too far ahead of their time and too soon? Like, if Chris Bosh was in his prime today the way he was, he'd be unbelievable.
I mean, he was
unbelievable. Forward. He
was
unbelievable.
That's the thing. It's just people...
But like, his game is totally built for today. He was that stretch forward.
I mean, look at Kevin Love, the way he's adjusted his game.
Well, I think that was more of a LeBron force him. Oh, my God. Our Twitter correspondent, Alex Browndorf, who runs a Snapback Twitter. You know, he said Anthony Davis was going to turn into Kevin Love and just be sitting in the corner with LeBron waiting for threes.
And now they run the offense.
It's actually wild to see what happened to Kevin Love. He was a 20-20 guy.
Yeah.
In Minnesota.
And now he's an NBA champ.
Now he's a champ.
All right, final question from the mailbag from Dylan Davis. Should players who are known dopers be in the MLB? Hall of Fame examples, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, etc.
Should Barry Bonds be in the Hall of Fame? Let me rephrase that question. Should the best baseball player of all time be in the Hall of Fame? Plain and simple. Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he started taking steroids.
What? But do you know when that was?
When his neck wasn't 50 inches big.
Uh-huh.
When he was on the Pirates, and he was leading the league in stolen bases and still hitting home runs.
Right.
Yes, they should, because essentially these guys, the Barry Bonds, the Mark McGwires, the Sammy Sosas, Ben was on our show the other day, they saved baseball.
Right.
After the strike in 95, these guys, the MLB knew what was happening. They knew they were taking steroids. Like, the MLB is as corrupt as every other league is. They knew these guys were taking steroids. Then once it became into public perception and the MLB started to look bad, then they pinned it all on the players and made them look bad. But the fact that you're keeping these guys out is like everyone was doing it at the time. You know what I mean? If everyone's doing it and you're all at the same level playing field, you put them in. It's the baseball hardos, the purists of the game, the guys that don't like bat flips, those guys. Those guys are the ones that are keeping them out. And baseball is the hardest sport to get into the Hall of Fame. You have to get 75% of the votes, and it's usually only 3 to 4 guys a year. And you're on it for, I don't know how many years. Like, Barry Bonds, it's like his 8th or 9th try or something in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's getting towards the end, and they get up every year. But there's no doubt in my mind they should be in the Hall of Fame because, one, they saved baseball. Two, they were just unbelievable players in general. And three, everyone was doing it at the time. Everyone was juicing.
I get that they're on an even playing field, and they were the best players in their game, so they probably deserve it for being the
best
players.
It's all relative speaking to that time.
But the question is, from the, like, all right, let's say, hypothetically, steroids gave them a 30% increase on everything they did, right? And then we could calculate those numbers. Okay, so he hit 70 home runs in a year. Okay, now he really only hit 45. And if he only hit 45 for, you know, X
only
amount of years.
Right,
runs. No, that's why I am in agreement, and everyone seems to be in agreement that they should be in the Hall. But I think, yes, they, if you take it, if it was a Hall of Fame, but if they did like a best of by decade, it's a lot easier of conversation because, like you said, they're all on an even playing field. But the players now don't have that advantage that they had. So any numbers they look at are going to be looked at as way worse than when those
guys
were.
That's why you
have
to look at relative to the times that they're in.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I mean, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Fame player without steroids.
Barry Bonds.
He's the best player of all time.
Right, he would step up. He was like the best player in the MLB on just getting pitched to.
He got intentionally walked with bases loaded multiple times a year. Could you imagine a guy comes to the plate and you're just like, nope, we're cool with giving up a run. Every time. It's wild.
Have you ever seen the YouTube video on the analytics behind Barry Bonds?
No.
I know you're not a math guy, but I know you...
I'm an analytics guy.
Right.
Not really.
I'm an eye test guy. You like Barry Bonds a lot. I'll send you this video, and anyone from the fam who wants to see it, it's insane. It talks about if he never swung the bat in a whole season, where he would have ranked out in that season, he would have been the best player in the league.
It's like Wayne Gretzky. If he never scored, he'd still have the most points of all time.
Right. He was that dominant. So, yeah, I'm just a believer. But I can't say I don't see the argument on the other side.
I see no argument. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
All right, Snapback fam, that was the Snapback Awards and a little Monday mailbag. Let us know your thoughts. As always, hit that subscribe button, and then we will talk to you on Thursday. Snapback fam, much love. Abe, any last words?
Hitting the shower.
Hitting the shower. All right, Snapback fam, much love. Peace.